to advertise, email podcast@thisisvechi.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
My dog, where were you?
Dog,
where were you?
News about Sivana Bogana, La Pomoana, Gazi. Abantu bathi mekha bathu thewa udlala uDJ. Who's been to play? Because Mac DJ forever, I heard. This is not a better pass, but to Mac akafuna ukugekiga. DJ umlibe. Awazi umlibe. It's infinity for black people. Umlibe. Hawubhepha umlibe. UDJ umlibe.
Oh, man. Eish. But you know, dog, you know when I'm...
Bro, you must take 1 gig a month. We can just play and tell them I'll play 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know? And you'll be like, I'll charge you whatever. It's just for you. It's not, it's for you. Dog. Once a month.
No,
sure, dog. Sure, the lady can allow once a month.
No, dog. What happened is, okay, let me give you context. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we all met up here. We're meant to meet up at 8 or 9. Eight.
Yeah.
Eight. I arrived at 11. I apologize, guys. Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I thought Timo was only one. We're up after 9. Drop this
fucking thing. I saw it. So, the day is over.
That's the film I'll ever know.
Hey, we got stopped by cops because we Ubered with Ghost Lady.
Oh, dope. Yeah. Wires right there.
Yeah, so we got, I don't know which Uber Ghost Lady requested. Was it Bolt? Which one was it?
Nah, that was InDrive. You negotiated the rates. What happened? It sounds shady, actually. You know InDrive, happened? You negotiate the rates.
You know what happened? So we got stopped there by, there was a whole traffic stop. You know how they go.
Huge roadblock.
Yeah.
By Deep Sloot, just between Deep Sloot and
December now. They're trying to get, they're trying to get Coley for December.
Before Dane Fern, yeah.
Bomrik. Yeah, we'll stop at the Marikis.
Yeah. So we get stopped first. And obviously there were some issues with the car. He got a ticket with the first.
The driver.
Or the Uber driver
the
now.
Uber driver.
Or in drive, yeah.
Then as we get out, we drive like just in a couple of meters. They stop him again. Another group of cops.
Mm. But same
group. Yeah, though. Because they're all working together.
Yeah, they tipped them.
Why?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't even. They were really hustling, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, just, trying to get money.
So, okay. You know. Now he also is getting frustrated and he's like, I've got guys that I have to take them to a meeting. Like, they're running late. So the cops now go like, who's those guys? And they see Mac. And then they're like, oh, Charlie, it's you. Oh, okay.
Why you got Charlie?
All right, cool. That's how literally, we've used you, Charlie, since the first stop, actually.
Because the guy was like, he was literally saying, you can keep my license. I will come back. Let me just drop these people off.
Yes.
Then they saw me like, oh, wanga kulumi.
Yes. But you know that's how it is. Why didn't you say, I don't know how to record it? You know how it is, dog.
No, actually, you know, at the first
time. I got humbled just once.
Mac went out to have a smoke. So I was hoping they'll recognize him and maybe, but no one recognized him.
He went out to smoke, Mama. Hoping people see him.
No, look at it. That wasn't the intention.
Yes, man.
Hi.
And then people are like, smoke.
It didn't work.
The famous thing works sometimes. Mm. You just don't know who stops you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And when it works, you don't play the card. Mm. You just hope your face is the card.
Mm. Yeah.
And if the face card declines, hey, good shit, though. You know? But you never come out like, yo, this is, you know, because it doesn't work. It's awkward. Mm. But that works, dog. When people just see you and like, sharp.
So then we drive, we got there about 11, and we were late, which I apologize to everybody, man. And then there were three buses, right?
And everybody's been waiting since 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were three buses, and then there was the old bus, which was me, Neo.
Neo was old by spirit, man. He's an old soul.
Mavimbela.
Damn, Mavimbela came all the way from Bumalanga. Yeah. Oh, shit. Shout out to Mavimbela, bro.
And the guy who does PNC, I forgot his name.
Tox.
We don't want no problems, though. Miss Shaina, but you know,
the old bus.
Can't complain about this song.
On the highway to Val. We saw you guys in the bus. Now, what was very shocking, the back seat. Who was sitting in the back seat? Mavimbela and Shocks. They had their seat belt on.
In a bus.
You should never. I know we're dangerous.
In a bus.
I'm a seat belt. Clearly, something was not right.
There was a middle bus.
Yeah.
The middle bus was like, I don't know, we're in high school or some shit. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It was...
Who was in the middle bus?
Everyone. All the cool kids.
Yeah.
Oh, the youngsters, the 2Ks.
Yeah.
Because it's 1K, so your bus was a 1K.
Yes.
Okay.
But I made it in the 2K bus.
Yes.
Me and Dude.
Because Otandi's in.
How do you make it into the 2K bus?
That bus, to show up, I mean, it was a 2K, it was on the floor.
On the floor. Yeah.
The bus was here, dog. Who was in that bus?
It
was
Dudu,
Spiwe, Tibbles, Tato, Shots,
Osima.
Nipache,
it was the edibles.
There's always that
weed,
bus. Yeah.
Alcohol.
Hot box. What do you call it? A box of where you smoke weed and you close the windows? A hot box, yeah.
Baby oil, ne?
Everything.
Ooh, baby oil.
Yeah.
Who had the... Hey. Who brought the baby
oil? Who
brought the baby oil?
We even forgot the other bus.
Oh, that was shots.
Shots. All right, cool.
Yeah, it was,
so we drive
the drone bus.
All right.
The drone bus.
Oh, drone.
Yeah, it was managing.
Do you have that video?
Was managing a drone.
Yeah, please, we'll play it for Saul. Oh.
I heard you crashed the drone.
You
got the footage of the crash.
Yes! So now...
Now it's got the pay now.
We're on the way to the Val. It's amazing. Great. And then we get there. Yeah. When we get there, we were just chilling. And then we start playing games.
Nice.
We were playing like Jenga.
Nice.
All these games. And then, Zile was playing chess.
Oh, so, Zile, what?
Yeah, so bear in mind, Zile has been creaming everyone.
Zile chess?
He's been showing everybody flames.
You don't think Zile actually knows chess?
Wow.
Like, it's so,
You'll be surprised.
Wow, for real, dope.
Poison. So he's been playing. I want to send this picture to show. Yeah, he's killing everyone.
Whoa.
So he's played Jason. He's played Taki.
Whoa.
He's played... Who else played it?
Zile, shut up.
He played everyone.
Whoa.
Killed him.
Whoa.
All right.
Zile's a chess master.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then, Yafiga is injured.
Ah.
Yafiga is injured.
Is that you now, no?
Yeah.
Yafiga is
injured. That's you.
Oh. Zinja is here.
The Zinja.
Then I play him, and just...
You know, play chess, dog?
Yeah.
Whoa, bro.
They say a picture tells a thousand words.
Yeah.
So after he's creamed everyone, this is me playing him.
So now you are checkmating him.
Yeah, it ended up a draw, but it was, I gave him a tough match. Yeah. Whoa, yeah. And I was drunk.
That's
when
a
draw
chess. Whoa.
Yeah. And then after this, then we get on the boat. JJ booked us a boat.
Oh, the Val River, yeah?
Yeah. We get on the boat, we're playing some games.
Oh.
And then that's when, yes, Shots enters the fray.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to take a picture of everybody, right?
Okay.
And he's got a drone, right?
Oh, shots.
Yeah.
So he's the drone pilot.
Yeah, yes. He's a drone pilot. So now what happens is he tells us, okay, guys, just scream. We're like, okay, no problem. Uh-huh. And then you can hear, you can see the drone go, we scream, and then the drone, okay, let me just play it for you. Check this out.
Oh, so the footage we're watching is not the drone.
No, it's not the drone. It crashed. I don't know how.
Did it hit someone's head?
No. It hit like the top of the boat or something.
Like the
play it again, but you can hear. Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the anticlimax.
Silence.
He crashed the drone.
Just like that. Just like that.
He crashed the drone, bro. Then after that, after the boat, we went to back to where we were chilling. Had dinner. And then that's when we had the CEO Awards. Let me give you the awards. You know every year, Bada.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, I know, yeah.
He said, game-changing moment of the year was Piano Pulse with Reason. Rightfully so.
Viral moment. Yeah. On Piano Pulse, I say viral moment of the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dope. Best Reason, post-production in a podcast. Chill. Yeah. Was PNC. Best campaign execution was Podcast and Chill for Brasa. Yeah, we had to fly to Cape Town.
Oh, yeah. I remember, They said we you got a train waiting for you in Cape Town. We thought it was a different train, but... when we got there, it was a literal train. Oh, we had to leave the condoms in the hotel room. We got invited for a train in Cape Town. Now, we've heard about the trains in Cape Town.
Ghost of the Year, Sean Ray. Best new host, co-host, PD Jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Best behind the scenes was Black Studios. Dope. Best behind the scenes was Matamela for growing us to over 1 million on TikTok. Shout out to her.
Shout out. Even though Matamela's son gave us the worst episode.
CEO's podcast of the year was the Thursday edition with the comedians and all that stuff. Interview of the year was Mbuyiseni Ndlozi.
Oh, shout out to
Soldier Zosie. Of the year and was sister. Joint this year. It was Dudu and Zozo.
Whoa,
Zozo. Yes. Best new content was the Ali Buga episode with Zile and all of them.
Oh, shout out to what's the guy's name? Shout out to him. He made that episode too, you know?
Yeah,
you must send him his copy of the award.
See ya.
Shout out to see ya.
Okay, so we'd eaten now. Yeah, we'd eaten now, right? So those are the awards.
Was amazing, apparently.
Yeah. Yes. And then we're done with that. Then my dog. I see the turntables. I see the decks.
Yeah.
And I relapsed, my man. I relapsed. Don't know what happened.
My nigga.
Apparently, I played for 3 hours. I can't even remember.
I remember we were playing at the Manchu Inn in Free State. And somebody said, a resident DJ said, he tells the owner,
That dog, I ended up playing with Tez. Yeah. Amazing.
Yes, shout out
so
to Tez.
So I was playing the old school stuff because, you know, I haven't DJed in so long.
Yeah.
So my USB's got old songs.
What kind of old school stuff?
You know, like you know that stuff.
Old school piano.
Yeah, old school piano.
You weren't playing like, let me be, change summer.
No.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's not old school. It's old school, but it's not like bad.
Nah.
2K still low.
What's that number song?
It's 17.
Because that's I haven't updated my stick since.
Yeah. Oh, shit,
that,
bro.
So we were playing that, and then he was playing the new school, Dez.
Taki made it sound like you were playing Summer Days, and you were playing like,
That was in the bus going back to
that night.
Nah, not even but there, it only bro. No.
At night.
On the bus. Remember, everyone had different buses.
Yeah.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So there was a bus for Pretoria Centurion.
Well, this is when the returning back, when we're going,
when we're going back. Okay. So the party's over.
Yeah. Okay, party's
gone. In the buses now, there's Pretoria Centurion.
Okay.
Now, Taki's in my bus.
Taki's a Pretoria guy.
Yes. And then.
Mind you, Mac played two songs and fell asleep out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But himself.
Yes.
Oh, he put himself to sleep.
Yeah, he put himself to sleep.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Nah, but it was fun, man. Oof, man.
Bro,
it was so much fun.
Yourself,
I like
man.
The games, man. The games are really, really dope.
Oh, fuck. I missed you
know. But I gotta stop. I don't know, man. When I get on the decks, dog, I just...
Bro, take 1 gig a month. Just 1 gig and let it be a 3-hour gig.
Yeah, but dog, even when, even when we're gigging so many times back then,
yes, that's what I'm 3 hours
set.
Take
dog.
1 gig, 3 hours or 4 hours. Mm. Or take a 6-hour gig once a month.
Get it out the system.
Yeah, get it out the system. Because you enter
the... Mac, your road manager is saying I agree.
Yeah,
your
that's one.
Your road manager.
Be like 1 gig a month. 4 hours.
And Jason
once
kept,
a month.
Jason kept walking by. He's like, I know the gigs are open for December.
No, because people always, hey, bro, people always, they hit me up. I'm like, yo, man, I'm a Max booking agent. I'm like, here's Jason's number. And I'm like, man, I'm not taking gigs. Yeah. Everybody wants to book you. You see?
No, but the thing is, I don't mind playing for 3 hours. What hurt is that my boy kept coming thinking he's going to rock a young set.
Yes.
And he got mad.
And you're the boss. You can't like say, hey, man. You're the boss. You can't boss you on. Boss you out of the decks. Like, hey, fuck.
Oh, Simpiwe. Yeah, he wanted to play, my man. He kept coming. Like, hey, my man, I'm a nyan.
But make how much your table.
Papa.
Where did you ngala to? No, no.
Dog, you played at the BTs, dog. Come on, man. You played at the BT. What party? Like, you should have told them who you were, bro. Oh, you wanted to play?
What was that? 3 Step. Okay. Yeah, but it was fun.
Yo, man, I missed out.
It was dope, man.
It was dope, bro.
Why didn't you come, bro?
I think I was on the road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is December for you, no?
I was towering.
Yeah, I was.
When I was done playing, I was... Where was I? When was it?
Wasn't Eastern Cape or Gqeberha somewhere there?
Oh, yes.
I'm busy. Yeah, you don't even know where we were.
No. Social boy, for sure. Party. I was there with Pearl 2C, Somizi.
Nice.
MT as well was there as well. Yeah. So a whole lot of us from Joburg were there. It was a party in East London.
How was it?
It was dope. Mm. It was good. It was cool. It was cool. The party died. So I was the last person playing, but people killed the party before I played. You know? And that's the worst thing. You're like, oh my word. You know, like, God, you should have, oh God.
Yeah,
and by the time I played, I mean, the crowd was a bit dead, but there were still people who had fun when I was there. But yeah, man.
Who killed it?
It was between, I won't lie, man. It was between Mr. Party and Pearl. Somewhere there. Nah, bro, I'm being honest. And I love Pearl. I love Pearl. We even spoke. And he was like, yeah, Mac. Yeah, because we spoke about the moments you had on the podcast. Some, you know? But between there, people, like, left. So I don't know. Because we were in the VIP. It's hidden.
Mm.
But I'm hearing the stuff, you know? And then one of the organizers like, yo, so please come on. These guys killed the party. You know, come on now. And I came and salvaged what I could salvage. But the people were there had fun. But yeah, and I hate that. So sometimes they put you as the last act because you're the one going to fuck shit up. And then, so, lineup curation.
Guys. I told you.
Guys, it's very important. Mm. We've lost the skill of lineup curation. Mm. Lineup curation. So some people will curate the lineup based on celebrityness or fame or whatever. Guys, there's a and apart from the name,
it's an art form.
It's an art. Mm. You can't have piano or hip hop or DJ or performance. Mm. You gotta, I don't know what the trick is because I'm not a lineup curator. You gotta have a way to curate your lineup. No. this person brings this to the table. This is a performance. This is a DJ. This DJ plays hip hop. They play house or piano. Know how to, it was, and that's what messes up the energy. Because once you've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 5,000 people in a venue, it's possible to lock them in through the curation of the lineup. But some people just, throw names. You're like, and it doesn't work like that, you know? So I feel like the lineup curation wasn't that bad. So somewhere between, because when MT performed, and you can hear, it's buzzing. Oh, it's shaking, it's vibrating. And then Pearl came, and then,
Pearl DJ'd.
It,
Pearl was DJ'd.
She's a DJ.
Oh, okay.
Remember 2 days ago, I told you she bought equipment. 2 years ago, remember, after the Zim gig, I told you, she bought, like, really good equipment. She bought really good equipment. Okay. She DJ'd. And then Sosu Boy came through, Mr. Party, it's his birthday party. But the thing is, it's his birthday party organized by Asanda Empire, which is the record label. Got all these other artists, you know? But it's a record label that's building artists up. So for me, it's like, I get it, Mr. Party, but then... So by the time I came, I even played 10 minutes before my set because the promoter or one of the guys like, yo, bro, the party is dying. These people killed the party. Now I have to come and save the day. So, yeah, and I don't like that. I want the party hot.
So who would you
I want
like
the people
to play
hot.
After, when I, like, personally, where would you have liked to be featured?
After MT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, after MT. But I think after MT, Pearl played because she introduced the set with the whole Pearl Tusi. I'm trying to.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. 2000s, help out the 2K, the lyrics. Pearl Tusi. Yeah, I'm talking about Pearl Tusi. So there's a thing she does when she enters where she plays that a cappella and a beat, you see? So then. But either way, it didn't affect me because I was meant to be the last guy closing. So then it got swapped. Then, you know, then things just went haywire.
Oh.
But anyway.
End of a remake. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Penduka is here, Tusa's here, Tibbler's here, Coast Ladies here, Shaney's here, Doodoo's here, Shotter's here, Tato's here, Neo's here, Fat Checker's here,
Simpiwe's here.
Yeah. Legend in the song.
There's only one place to start, bro. That's gotta be the P. Diddy documentary.
Yo, wild, bro.
Man.
Bro. Bro. You watched all 4 episodes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had to.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I always knew I didn't like this guy because the way he moves, right?
Ah, come on, man.
But when I figured out that, like, it was legit, like, they...
So when did you stop liking him? Did you always know, like, you were in grade 3 in your 90s?
No. It was...
like, it's still off. Because he makes it sound like I always knew this thing was off. So I'm like...
No, it was
after. Who loved Diddy?
It was after the Cassie thing. The Remember, I got a daughter, you know what I mean? I'm like, fuck, man.
Even if you don't, bro.
It's like if someone's doing that to my daughter, man, what the fuck? Like, fuck, bro. That's just evil, right?
Yeah.
And then for me, when I found out while I was watching that he killed Tupac, bro, and what he did to Biggie, bro. Oh, just like,
didn't say kill Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's alleged. Yes,
but you're right because truth is we can't avoid. Sorry, man, you're going to go on. We can't avoid that. The narrative was as if he killed Tupac. Mm. Yes, but they didn't say he killed him. But that it looked like he had a hand. Because he had a motive. He knew the people.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the ops.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much I love Pac, bruh. Pac's my girl.
You love Tupac, bro.
Oh,
yeah, you love Tupac,
bro. Like, fucking, jeez. I mean, that guy, bro, the stuff he was rapping about is still relevant till this day. 30 years later, or 20 years, however long it is.
No, bro. Tupac is Tupac.
Bro?
Legend. One of the best storytellers in the world.
And then what he did to Biggie, for Biggie must pay the funeral. And then he took...
That is...
And then he changed the contract.
Bro, he made Biggie. For those who didn't watch the show, and for those who are yet to watch the show, sorry for watching it so late, but I will spoil it. He made Biggie pay for his own funeral through his royalties.
Yeah.
Royalties that were meant to go to the family. You as the record label. Okay, maybe Biggie didn't have a funeral plan. Desmond Dube.
No, but
Desmond Dube hadn't reached out to him. And Lillian Dube. He wasn't in the clientele. But I don't know what's the story with the funeral plans outside, you know? But as a form of service, the label was meant to say, okay, maybe we won't cover the whole thing, but cool. But to take his...
But didn't he offer?
They literally gave an advance. They literally advanced because it's like, as a label, sorry, Ghost Lady, as a label, when you sign on an artist and you foresee income through his music, you give him an advance generally, right? And that's what... It happens till today, mind you. Till today, a lot of these guys sign up stuff and, you know, and then there's advances. Sometimes it's an advance for... your future royalties. In fact, every money you get is attached against your future royalties.
Yes, yes.
So it'd be music for promotional work, to promote your music, etc. The record label is a business and they've got to earn their money back.
Yeah.
So they literally did that with his funeral. Mm-hmm. So whatever this thing is going to release, we'll recoup that. That is ruthless.
And then he changes the contract. Remember the guy said that they'd given Biggie everything he wants. And then they just took out some pages in the middle to fit in what suits the label. Because the signature's there at the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yes, yes.
To make it suitable for...
Yeah, like he signed up for this.
Yeah.
And then they changed... Oh, so I saw that part. So to my understanding, they changed pages... And then change the number.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you kind of page 1, 2, 3, and then 7.
Mm.
Sure. Yeah, bro, that guy fucking is pages. Evil, bro. And that's his best friend, bro.
that's not his best friend, bro.
Dog.
Let's be real. Didn't know that nigga for a Biggie from a bar of soap. He met him. He was a nigga. He could make money from him. He's from the streets. He's hungry.
And he got jealous.
Oh, yeah, that's what he did. So that's his modus operandi of living vicariously through these guys and get jealous of their fame and talent.
Yeah.
And remember growing up listening to Every Step I Take, do, 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 do.
Every Move I Make.
And then Diddy comes in and raps. And when you're a kid getting ready for school, putting your socks on, putting them up to your knees, wearing your gray shorts, going to primary school on Channel O at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, watching Diddy rap, fall off the bike on that song. Remember, he falls off the bike and then rap, and you think he wrote and created the song.
Mm-mm.
But everything was written for him. Mm. He took 2 days to write, to just rap. Like, he wasn't writing the verse. He took 2 days to rap the 16 bars. People are like, he's talentless.
What did you think, Ghost Lady, of the documentary?
Yeah.
It's just how ruthless he was. And also just even going after these guys' exes, you know, or baby mamas and just dating. Weird, it's like... Man. His obsession that, you
bro.
Know, it's like his love turns into this, I wanna, like,
control.
Be controlling, I wanna show
love?
You. Yeah,
is it even love?
And apparently 50 Cent acquired that footage because Diddy didn't pay the videographer.
Like, how do you do that? How do you let someone follow you? And then you refuse to pay.
Diddy is a dick, man.
Nah.
Like, that guy's a billionaire. We're told he is.
Mm.
He wouldn't pay $1,000 to somebody he's hired to do the video for the night. Like, Who is, yo, man, I get it. We live in a capitalist world. Cool, cool, cool. But, yo, bro, just pay the people. And for me, it's like, to me, you know what's scary? Is that a person can build something from the ground up and become a billionaire like that and not do the right thing. Yeah. And everybody keeps quiet.
Yo,
and on top of that, you are raping people, you are drugging people. The producers are waking up drunk, not knowing what's happening, and their asses are sore.
Yo, bruh.
Bro, he's doing too much. Like, people are waking up with their palms sore, drunk, and they're like, it must have been a crazy night. I must have shat a lot.
Remember that part where he's in the car and he went to Brooklyn or New York, whatever, he was touching people. He's like, I got to sanitize.
And okay, yeah. So these are the last days. It's the last kick of a dying horse. He's the dying horse. Yeah. And it's his last kick. Mm. Now he wants to appeal to the hood.
Mm.
Bro,
but if you have someone recording all of that, then you don't pay them.
Before we talk about that moment, there is a behavior of maybe black people or people who reject their own people. And then when they're in trouble, it's time to go back and connect to your people because you know that that's where you're going to get real love.
Love.
Similar, we see it in the hood. Guy forgets his home, where he comes from. He's dating this white girl in the burbs or this slave queen.
Mm.
And then Uyawa, and he comes back to his people.
Yeah.
You know, like the prodigal son. And because we are a people full of love. So Diddy does that and goes to Harlem.
Mm.
Harlem. He goes to Harlem. He knows the Harlem spots. You know the Shisanyama spots in your... Okay, you grew up in the suburb. Suburb. Yeah, well, yeah. You know the Shisanyama spot, you know, to go to in the hood, the place to go to. And he goes to these kind of places where this is a popular kitchen. People show him love. He's recording that. The kind of character you're dealing with here, he knows it's being recorded. He hired the videographer to record him. And he doesn't even tell the videographer when they get back in the car after these people embrace him, who he wants the optics of the love from his people.
Yeah.
These people he so desperately needs the optics of embracement from.
Yep.
He gets in the car after getting that embrace. And then in front of the same camera he hired, he says, I got to sanitize myself. I got to sanitize my hands. I got to take a shower when I get home. Like, he's a piece of, man, dude is a piece of shit, bro.
You know, I was having an argument with my woman, right?
Yeah.
So I was of the belief, because if you watch that whole story, right, I was like, okay, cool. It seems like his dad was a drug dealer, got shot. And then the mother who raised him, she was like pretty much like everything that he knows now, he got it from his childhood, right? Because
I get that his mom was a slave queen. Showbiz woman.
100%, oh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So different niggas and pimps, because she's in that space, are coming. That's when they're having these freak calls.
She continues the lifestyle,
right?
Of drug dealing.
And there might be a situation where maybe he got molested during that. You know what I'm saying? And he saw it as a norm. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Like, this is what we do.
Oh,
yeah,
understand?
Yeah.
Get exposed to that, right?
Yeah.
And then he starts working and becoming famous, and obviously he's narcissistic, right?
Mm.
But the money added another level, right? And then if you check the documentary, it says he never used to drink or do anything until he started Ciroc. So now you put alcohol into that, right?
Well, he didn't drink till Ciroc?
Yeah.
For real?
And then you put in drugs because, like, he was heavy on this ketamine
and also
his
schedule. Because, yeah, he was on drugs till last year.
And then you add in things of, like, where he's killing Tupac, he's shooting people at clubs, and he gets away with it every time.
Yeah, Shine took
even
the rap
the studio.
Fan.
Yeah,
understand. So now this guy,
yes,
bro,
Tupac
if you add all of that into a melting pot, here's a guy who's got money. He's a billionaire. Can't be touched. Gets away with things. He's on drugs. And his childhood obviously wasn't great. Now he starts having a God complex, bro. where he feels like he can do anything. Because if you check, when he found out that Cassie was cheating on him with Kid Cudi, he went to the house to go shoot Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
And he was going to shoot him. And then after that, say, okay, you, the security, take the blame.
Yeah.
I'll give you X amount for being in jail for taking the rap for that. You know what I mean? So the guy just got like a God complex and he felt like he could do anything, bro.
That's what money does, bro. That's what happened.
That's the conversation I was having with my woman. My woman was saying no.
Oh.
Because she was saying there's people who have money like him but are not doing those things.
But those guys were raised by their mom, their dad, a solid household proper.
It's not about money, so even if he was an IT person, like those things would come out in him. It's not about money. Money, obviously, yes, it brings out who you really are.
But what I'm saying is he had a faulty upbringing.
Yes.
Puff was not brought up like you and I. And you and I didn't have the perfect upbringing. You know what I mean? I got single mom, you single mom.
Sure.
He was not brought up just like a single mom. He was brought up by a single mom who was married to a drug lord or drug dealer. Mm. A single mom who believed in entertainment. Fuck, nigga, had a fucking stage in his house. He had a performance stage in his household. You know?
Yeah, it's almost
with like a mom, crazy. Hosted people, drugs happened, all these fucked up things happened.
So what about 50 Cent, who you can say the same, and he's got money now, but he's not doing those things?
Because he was raised by...
No, he wasn't.
No. His mom, yes, we know that 50 Cent's mom was working at night, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. How, okay, here's the thing, bro. So you could have a prostitute mom who doesn't bring the prostitution home. So we don't know about 50 Cent whether the mom brought the prostitution home. Then you could have a prostitute mom who brings the prostitution home. She works from the master room. And you are in the other bedroom if it's a two-bedroom apartment, for example. These different men come in. It's loud music in the house. They play all these things, right? And maybe, according to your mom, it's the only place you can go. It's where you're raised. And then you could have I don't know, 50 Cent. You could have a mom with a prostitute. Might not bring the prostitution home, or she might. But also, you've got outside exposure where you've got father figures. You've got... Because 50 Cent, remember, he was like a boxer, an athlete at a young age. Hit the gym. So already there's a semblance of routine. Discipline. 50 Cent was ripped. When he came out, it was ripped.
Yeah.
But in his 16, he was a boxer.
Yeah.
Then I remember watching a document. He was a boxer. Yeah. So clearly, unlike Diddy, who sounds like there was an insulation of where you were raised and it's just a toxic space. But if you are raised in a toxic space and you still have an outlet and... You realize that there's a world where there's discipline, routine, and you see results. And there's other people to look out for, father figures, etc. So I think that's the difference. But
so are you saying money plays a point in him being...
No.
Having got...
No, foundation. I say foundation. He was raised in a household where... Another thing is, you are raised with this idea that it's hamalako, and there's many kids like that, right? There's many kids like that. In the hood where you are raised with the do you know who your dad was kind of, you know, mentality, like as it hamalakumvana bugu machuzi who can machuzi wins on my scene but it's sprayed like it gains etc. And maybe if it does pass away and then now the only guidance you have is his friends and they are in this life and they now see you in his shoes and they expect these of you and you want to show because wherever you go your dad's name precedes you. It's like before I arrive already people are like, yeah, this is so and so's kid, and you want to live in those shadows and you want to prove to people you're the man, you're this, you're that. And when you got the money you'll do everything. So for me it's the upbringing, it's not the money, because to be honest, bro, there's many people with money.
But can you still blame your upbringing on your choices as an adult? Because we also have to separate those.
Nah, I think when you become an adult, man.
Can we still blame upbringing? Because upbringing, whatever may have happened, but there's a point where you need to take responsibility and do the healing. go through the healing process if that was so traumatic, so that you have become a better person.
The decisions you make as an adult spawn from what you were taught.
You can't separate it. So my thing is, you do have a certain level of culpability and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We can't separate it, but you do have a level of, hey man, when you're an adult, it's like ginibati amasiwa was. And they would say, hey, Nkulebang fundisa amasiko vele. But guess what, man? When you're 18, 19, 20, and you know that you're a boy child, if you want to really, really learn, you can learn.
Of learning, yes.
If you really want, you can learn. So as much as the upbringing affects your mentality, mm-hmm. you can't always pin it on that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys, who's worse, P. Diddy or R. Kelly?
Diddy.
Goes, lady.
Oof.
Without a, okay, we didn't see, from what I know, Diddy, bro. From what I know,
is it because
Diddy.
Of just what we've watched, it's still fresh? Because I'd say Diddy because I've been watching this like, what, 2-3 days ago?
Yo, man, Diddy was killed Tupac, bro. R. Kelly didn't do that.
R. Kelly was pissing on little girls.
Yes.
Oh no.
Both fucked up. Don't.
Yeah,
don't get it wrong. I'm not saying R. Kelly. Yeah.
Okay, but
is a saint.
Was R. Kelly drugging? You see, we don't know the extent, but like what he did was fucked up. But did he drug people? Did things to people that didn't consent for things to be done on them, and then found out that there's video recordings on them having these things done on them.
Oh, no, Diddy.
We saw him
up,
kick a woman who's defenseless.
Yeah.
He doesn't pay people. He doesn't pay anyone.
Yo, if he's a fucking narcissist.
Dog, if you do 500 rand worth of work for Diddy, like shining his shoe, he doesn't pay you. Like,
who was
what
that girl?
Fuck,
she was winning the band with him, Kalina. I think it was Kalina. She was going through like hard times and was borrowing like, I think, $5,000. He refused. And then moments later, he's asking this girl to help her during the case. Like, please testify, you know, and just...
It's pure narcissism, like, bro. It's pure narcissism.
No.
You never do a favor for another.
He was... remember when they shot that guy in the studio and his son is there?
Oh, yeah.
There's a theory.
Son.
There's a theory of the son. So, if you notice, that son, the eldest son, does not look like Diddy. The light-skinned kid, right?
It's the bar, isn't it?
Just check first, fat checker there. Yeah, but continue, my dog.
It's Justin.
So,
Justin,
yeah. So there's a guy,
there's
Jones.
Quincy, yes.
His surname is Jones. He was like Diddy's security or somebody in the security sector. And that kid, he looks nothing. Dog. I got two kids and they both look alike.
Okay.
Oh, there's a semblance of my kids. I have, you know, but there's families where some kids just don't look, there's nothing similar. And I'm like, I look at the mom, I'm like, Because, bro, when you're the father of kids, you see how,
isn't this Kim's first kid?
That's not Diddy's kid.
It's not Diddy's kid. It's Kim Porter's first child with
Al Sharpton or something.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton.
Al
Sharpton. Not Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton and Fudi. Okay, he's also weird. Like, he's a weird man of God. But he's so it's unknown. It's not his blood.
Yes. It's
not.
Blood. It's not.
Oh.
But why are they killing some guy shooting some guy in the bathroom? Do you remember in the studio?
First, I can explain it. I think Diddy, the way he is, he would never put that son through that. But clearly doesn't feel much for this son because which dad kills their kid, who kills a man with their kid around? He's a fucked up man, bro. Diddy's just a fucked up man. Because why would you take your child to a killing? Why would you kill somebody with your child? Yes, okay, the bell went off.
Just to correct, Ghosty got the mothers mistaken. So his firstborn son is Justin Dio Combs.
Yeah, that's Justin.
And his mom's name is Misa Hilton.
Oh, Misa, yes.
Oh, Misa, yes. Oh, Misa, he took from the R&B singer.
KRS-One.
Whoa, bro. KRS-One is not the R&B singer.
Yeah, but I remember. I saw it.
The light-skinned guy.
Yeah,
man, that kid is, like, they just put him through stuff, bro. Because, like, yeah, why would you kill a person with your child?
Nah, this nigga.
Hey, but to sum it up, guys, did he slap his mom?
Oh, yeah. Like, yes.
Did he slap his mom? Like, that's all we got to say. Have you slapped your mom?
Dude.
Like, Umamakonyambama. Yo, guys.
Yo.
And you know, like, I felt bad for the mom, but at the same time, I was like, it's almost like the karma, you know, of the mom for raising the comeuppance of raising your kid the way you raise your kid. Because there's no world where I slept my mom. May so rest in peace, Yambama.
Yeah.
There's no world where you slept your mom, Yambama. Where you, ghost lady, slept your mom, Yambama. There's no world, bruh.
Yeah.
Oh, mama, umkhulise kanjani umntana under what environment? Because clearly some of that is like, I feel like it's a frustration of the kid saying, this is what you raised. And this is how you raised me. Because in my home, I used to see people fucking, slapping one another, domestic violence, all these things. So you've seen it in the same room I saw it in. I can slap you then. Because who slaps their mom, Yambam? Yes. Guys, there's not a single person here who slapped their mom, It's impossible, bro. I could go through 1,000 people who've never slapped their mom. So,
what did you think?
Upbringing, Kanye.
When you saw it?
Well, I'm not done with it. I'm on episode 3. I'm still taking my time. But
you're almost done.
Yeah, I'm almost done. But coming to what Saul is saying, about the upbringing having a very big effect on how he is currently. I fully agree with that. Growing up, my dad used to tell me that you could be raised by one person and have different outcomes from it. But no matter what the outcomes are, you'll be extreme in it. So if you were raised by a drunkard, there's one person who'd say, I do not drink because my dad was a drunk.
Ronaldo.
And they're going to be extreme.
Yeah, that's why you'll never touch alcohol.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to be extreme about it. Like, no alcohol whatsoever.
Yes.
They're not going to compromise on that.
Yes.
And there'll be another person who was raised by a drunkard, but will drink because their dad was a drunkard.
And they'll also
be extreme about it. So that's how I feel. Looking at the way the documentary went, because when they described exactly how he grew up, it started making sense. And the fact that his mom was basically unapologetic. Like, if you see the clips from back then when she mentions the fact that she used to beat him, she says it with pride.
Mm.
So you can imagine the extent of beatings he used to get.
Yeah.
And then hearing that he also hit his mom is like, okay, given. Hearing people who grew up around him saying that what they used to watch on TV used to be displayed in front of his, like, at his home, describing the women. And then you look at all the women that, or all his victims that he has been with.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Mm. So he did what he knows, and he did it to an extreme point.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, but that guy, man. Yeah,
he's a messed up man, bro.
A menace to society.
But he only gets 15 months.
Did you see his pictures? He looks happy to be in prison. Did you see? He doesn't want to leave.
Okay, there's a lot of AI happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot of AI happening, bro.
But you can understand why he doesn't want to leave prison.
But also, he only got 50 months. So he could be happy.
No, remember, he got 50 months for sex trafficking. Human trafficking for the sake of sex, racketeering, whatever. He didn't get 6 months for rape.
No.
For
killing Tupac.
Attempted murder.
Yeah.
Kidnapping. Not the Tupac one, but it's a cold case in America, apparently.
No. Remember that guy, Kiffy D. He's facing trial next year for the Tupac.
Yeah, man. But so I feel like there's more charges speaks, coming in.
If he speaks, then
I feel like there's more charges. Hey, bro. Apart from that, bro, this guy, there's kidnapping. There is the Kid Cudi situation. There is everything to do with Cassie. We can't
allegedly lose. His own wife. He killed his own wife.
Oh, gosh.
What's her name?
Kim Porter.
Kim Porter, yes.
Are you for real?
Yeah, allegedly.
So, obviously, everything to do with Cassie.
Oh, this one is alleged.
Yeah.
Mara Tupac.
Tupac, I'm like, this fucking nigga.
Yeah.
I had to go have a smile. I'm like, this fucking nigga.
Nah, man. Tupac, the guy's bro. He's fucked up, bro. The guy's a monster. Like, he's just, he is. Like, it just makes you lose belief in the world. Because how could a guy like this for so long in front of our faces raise us as kids who saw him as a role model back at the ranch? He's leaving a trail of trauma, disaster, abuse, pain behind him. Craig Mack. You know, I remember watching a video of Craig Mack a few years ago. He looked like a madman, a shadow of his former self in a church. These it's a cult like church.
Yeah.
A white man's church. And I'm like, this is not can't be Craig Mack. All because of the trauma from not being paid, being abused, probably being my soul, you know, rest in peace. Being touched and abused in other ways by this guy, bro. And he was such a great new flavor in the air, bro.
Here comes a new flavor in the air.
New flavor in the air. Here comes the new flavor in the air. I'm the new flavor, bro. Biggie.
Wait, flavor in the air?
It's Dude. Here.
Flavor.
So it's a...
Here comes the new flavor.
Here comes.
Hey, my daughter. Mtini man.
Here comes. New flavor. So it's like, yo, let's do roll call. You call me new flavor? Here comes the new flavor in the ear.
Anyway, Ghost Lady, what you got for us, man? Yo, that's it. Bad boy.
Bro, yeah.
Oh.
And you know these guys, they're always hiding plain sight.
Yeah.
Bad boy. And then you flavor in the air. and you listen to all these interviews and you're like, oh no, did he just say that in an interview, you know? The freak is right there.
Because of his I feel like it was him just going through like having multiple personalities. Like, that was something as well.
But anyway, it's fine, man. I think we've spoken about this enough.
Nah, man. Like, I feel like the years should be added on. Like, watching that, I feel like there's more charges. 50 months is not enough, bro. Fuck. This guy has hurt people. Like, he's fucked up, man.
Did you hear 50 Cent did an interview on ABC because they played in prison?
Yeah, I saw that. He's like, yeah, they get ABC in prison, so you gotta be on that. Nah, bro, but...
That
was
so happy, 50.
Yeah. And it's weird. Did you see Marlon Wayans? He's all out defending Diddy. It's the weirdest
thing. For real?
Yeah.
Marlon Wayans.
There's an interview where he's like... No, the producers are creating a narrative. I'm like, bro, I get it's a narrative, but did you see Cassie being beaten down?
Yeah.
Did you see people saying they woke up drunk? Not drunk, drugged. Did you see people saying they were touched? Men, grown men, saying they were touched. They were harassed. Did you see people saying they were covering up for him? Didn't you see Shine taking a rap? Yeah. So to me, it's like 50 could create a narrative of the Biggie, the Pac thing, but did you see victims telling their lived experiences?
What's your goal for us, Costa?
Fuck it, man.
Guys, Cotton On
Yes.
Cotton Fest. Cotton On is the shop.
Cotton Fest.
No, my homie. No, Cotton Fest.
Cotton Fest.
Not just any cotton. Cotton Fest. Cotton On. They'll sue you. Where are they from? What's Cotton On from?
It's a shop.
Australia. Yeah. Like,
oh, is it?
Woolies. Yeah, like the Woolies brand. What's it? Yeah.
They've got a lot of brands underneath.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know.
Oh,
that.
No, Down Under.
Oh, okay.
Down Under.
She doesn't get it.
No, Australia.
Underneath. It's still underneath. It's Down Under.
Down Under.
Underneath.
Hey. I know.
Something else now.
Are you catching on?
I'm on. I just want the show to be done. Because you know, it's so goes on and all. So it's like, okay.
Are you catching on?
Okay.
Are you catching on?
Okay. Cotton On.
Yeah. Oh, you caught on?
I caught on.
Yeah, Down Under.
No, okay, guys, Cotton Fest.
Yes.
So
yes,
it has been reported that it's going to has been cancelled indefinitely.
Jeez.
After the shareholders announced they would be parting ways following 7 years of working together. The festival has been a major fixture in South Africa, urban culture, blending fashion, hip hop, street culture, and creative arts. Yeah. Mm. Obviously, people are like questioning the ownership of it all, because it seemed like it was led by or owned by Ricky Rick.
Mercado.
Yeah.
Mercado.
And there was a video connecting this now. A video when Unota was on Nkululeko's podcast.
Nkululeko Culture,
Nkululeko Culture. And there he had said Ricky Rick was used by the white stakeholders to secure black artists on for Cotton On Fair, Cotton Fest without payments. Mm. So were those guys, now my question is, were the guys just performing there and not getting paid?
That's normal.
Such a big event.
That happens. It's favors. So remember, Ricky would have attended these guys' events and
okay.
These guys would have said, hey, I've got a birthday party at Zouk or whatever.
And Ricky was very supportive, I get. Yeah.
And then he performs for free, but you don't get to choose when Ricky recoups his favor. So if Ricky, I'm not saying this, that Ricky did this, but I'm saying, Brank, mm-hmm. the culture. When I recoup, I could do my birthday party or my festival and say, I'm not doing a birthday party, I'm doing a festival. Mm. And it's at fucking stadium. And you owe me a favor. You pull up and you play. And then sometimes it'll be like, I'll initiate the favor. So without owing you a favor. Because artists have relationships.
But also,
a lot of times when you see artists perform at another artist's event, it's free.
Mm. No, he's not lying. No cap.
No cap.
But the reality is, it's very hard to do a successful festival in the country without a white person behind it. Because they own that industry.
I get that, yes. But obviously, there'll be money that is poured into it, and therefore people get paid. So I'm getting shocked that, like, with festivals that magnitude, people are not getting paid.
Business, the less it's money you pour into it, and the more money you make.
Think of it like this. Okay. Think of it like this, Kanye. Mm. So you are the owner of Cotton Fest. Mm. You've got this lineup. That lineup costs R1 million to put it together.
Yeah.
But if you get a Ricky Rick who knows and has access to all these people that you want and you pay him $100,000, is that not a good business deal?
It is.
And he doesn't incur costs or risks. And all he walks away with is an amount. It may not be $100,000, maybe more.
Yeah.
He's a business. And then he calls his friends who he's been performing at their gigs for free. Mm. And some don't mind owing Ricky Rick. There's people in the game that don't mind owing a favor. Because, you know, if you do your birthday party, fuck, Ricky Rick is on the lineup. And you come do it 30 minutes for free. It's huge.
Mm.
So it's how the industry works. But, bro, I want to go back to what you said, which is very, like, problematic. But insane.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you can't do a successful thing without white people involved?
You can.
You can.
But you can.
But why do you guys feel like we need white people
involved? No, you can, but it's hard to.
Like, why is it hard?
Like, because they have a monopoly on everything. You understand what I'm saying? And it's hard to do one consistently. Not like a once-off. You can do a one-man show now. And it'll pop, right? But if you're going to do it every week, consistent, I mean, every year consistently, it'll be tough.
Why do I need... Okay, what's the difference between me doing it as a black person, fully black crew, I own the IP that year, and versus every year?
I don't know, man, because it's not an industry that I'm well-versed in. But it's just what I've seen. Because, I mean, look, if I were to ask you, what are the top 5 festivals in the country right now? They're all pretty much white-owned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, like, gigs in the hoods, in the Kasi, because there it's easy to maneuver. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Springfest, Val, what, some of the,
But I'm talking about, like,
talking
the
about...
big.
Hey, neighbor. Is
and what happened to Hey Neighbor?
It's underground. Yeah, true, huh?
You know. Who?
Gunye Shimza. Oi! Oi!
Hey!
Nantia.
No, look, Gunye is Shimza, but he does collaborate. I don't want to lie. He does collaborate with white people.
Yeah.
When you get there, Shimza's in charge, but you will face probably a white person. Cool. Mm-hmm. Look, at the scale that Gunye is now, yes. But he did it black when it was Shimza's one-man show. Tembisa, what stadium?
Yeah, one-man show.
From Tembisa, come.
Murilting Park.
Yeah? Mutlaring. Mutlaring. Mutlaring.
But that's the hood. Like
I've been there, passed out many times.
The hood is...
Yeah, easy. True. Get to a big concerts level.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll see flames.
The staging, the...
You'll see flames, too.
Yeah, the production.
That's another...
So how do we break that? Because we got it. Because the thing is... The majority of the consumers is us, fam. You book a Justin Bieber, you book a Beyonce, a Jay-Z, you book a anybody international at F&B, the crowd is black. So we got to have an ownership into the production and we got to know how do we then own that and break into that. Because it's like, yo, man, why is it that... And I'm not saying certain people can't partake in the economy.
Is it because of the cost? Like, because it's very costly.
There's enough black billionaires. There's a black bank. And...
But managing that kind of equipment is now, it's like, would it be safe? And...
Yeah.
There's a way, man. And we've got to just change that thing.
Did you hear...
Who's he blaming?
Did you hear Trump, no?
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, no? Please check the story for me. He said that... now, with the American green card, right? So, if you're an American and you marry, like, a South African, right? He's not going to issue any more green cards. So, if you marry a South African, you must move in with them in South Africa.
Wait. If I'm an American man...
Yes.
I must move in...
If you're marrying a South African woman... He's not going to issue the South African woman a green card. Yeah. You must move in with her in South Africa. I agree, you guys love each other so much.
Nah. That's messed up. Nah.
No, only have 90 day the other way only.
Yeah.
I love 90 day, you know. It just shows couples marrying.
Yeah. What's 90 day?
90 day fiance.
Oh, it's
a TLC show.
They all do it for the visa.
Oh, good riddance. They're getting away with it.
Yeah.
I heard he was halting the green card process, but I didn't know it was going that far.
Because people have abused it.
Yeah,
and we've got to be real. People do abuse these little loopholes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So if you are my sister in South Africa, you love jollof, and you get married to a jollof nigga, go to Nigeria.
You know, I would... Meg, I agree with you. I think that would happen... It's agreeable if it's the man. Because you assume his surname. you become part of his family. Mm. So it makes sense to go to his country. Mm. But if you're a woman,
hey,
married by an American guy, you take his surname, you become part of his family. Yeah. Why should he move to South Africa? Mm. See? Mm. So I think Trump needs to maybe reconsider who, because of, if I'm an American man and I love myself a Zulu woman from South Africa, because, you know what I mean, like South Africa got the goods, you know, and the Zulu women are at the top of the goods list, and not, they're not goods, but you know what I mean, they got the goods.
Mm, okay, Dr. Uma.
He's censoring himself.
No, I don't want people to get me wrong. So that... Let's be honest, Zulu women probably have the best bodies in the country. A fact. When last have been to Durban, my nigga? Nah, we know.
Tswanas.
Gotta represent.
No, but you're in Botswana, dog. You're in Botswana.
Oh, yeah, Tswanas. Man, South Africa got beautiful women.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
So my thing is, why should an American man move to South Africa?
Okay, so your statement, it says that there hasn't been anything that clarifies that. However, what has been clarified is that Trump did tighten the procedures of getting green cards, mostly marriage-based green cards. And he is now administering a sweeping review of green cards that have been issued.
So I agree with Trump. Because in every country there are laws and people take advantage of them. So the green card, I think when they came up with the idea, they didn't think that they're going to get a whole lot of people scamming American women to come live in America. You get me? Which is what we get in South Africa, where people are scamming South African women, making them believe that they're in love with them just to have a South African citizenship. And through that citizenship, they then abuse the citizenship for whatever nefarious reasons. So I agree with Trump. I don't want to lie. I agree with Trump. I just disagree on, you marry a foreigner, regardless of the dynamics, you got to move to their country. What if I'm the breadwinner and I've got my career here in South Africa and I'm the man?
Yeah,
I can't just move to Tanzania because now I've married a Tanzanian woman and I'm going to get there and be a pauper and not know, like, where to start hustling, how, where, what, you know, bruh.
With what Trump is doing there in America, for me, it just reminds us who have maybe put America in a pedestal. You know how Africans, you know, like, so be this thing of go to America, you know, be...
The world, not Africa,
you know,
the world.
You know, like, so it's it just reminds us, we just need to work on our own, like, continent, our own countries, and really make it such a great place to stay in that we don't even have to look at America being the place, best place to be, you know, for instance, seeing that how it's backfiring now with everybody, like, being, like, out, you know, the whole thing. So, yeah.
Sure. What else you got for us, Coast Lady?
Prince KB.
Gibbo!
My nigga.
So he shared like a very personal story, a post, and claims that he was molested as a child. Sadly.
I think he said that before.
Has he?
I think.
When?
I've heard that before.
From him?
Yeah.
Okay. And it trended. People were like, was it something that just was maybe amongst you DJs?
No. He said, like, the story now, I don't think he was breaking it then. He had spoken about it, but he was explaining how he, I think, has viewed sexuality from that point to where he's before, you know?
Okay.
Has been, yeah. But he wasn't breaking that. It was just about how he has viewed sex. But he's mentioned it before, but it's never been a thing that dominated headlines.
Okay, this is the post itself. Let me just read. I think sex is whack. I might have been having it for the wrong reasons. I became rich and famous. I had access to sex with anyone I wish. My relationship with sex is also defined by how I get uncomfortable when shown compassion. When people have sex, they say they make love. Love being something that makes me uncomfortable. The revelation has sparked conversations about male vulnerability, trauma, mental health in the entertainment industry. Yeah.
When was he rich and famous? When did you miss that?
Ah.
So come up. Come on, man.
Prince KB.
Nah, bro.
Ah, Prince KB.
Meg is trolling, man.
Yeah, Meg is trolling.
He knows very well.
Oh, shame, man.
No, I just find it weird when people say when I was rich and famous, like, come on now.
No, I think he means when he was famous and making
loads of money
that...
Yeah.
But money is relative, dog.
No. But man, the money is relative. But there's a certain point where you make a lot of it in a short space of time, especially as an artist. And like right now, Piss KB hasn't had a hit or anything in a very long time. But he's not poor.
Yeah.
Because of money he made in a certain time that he's invested in these trucks and his wines and his wine farms.
When I was.
Yeah, so when I was... Tense. Basically saying when I was famous and rolling in it.
Right.
Not the richest man in South Africa, but when I was famous and rolling in it, there was access to these people. Maybe these porn stars.
Okay, I get you.
All these people that he was just bidding.
Okay.
These influencers, these Instagram girls, actresses.
So since you knew about it, or you said you've heard it before, was he molested by a female or male? You know.
I think it was a female. I've heard him mention this thing before.
Okay.
But what I found intriguing in the post was his vulnerability. You know, him... His vulnerability, and I think we need more of that, especially in a country where there's a lot of sexual crimes that are happening, you know? And he was just so vulnerable about sex and what it meant to him. And I think a lot of guys in South Africa, sex isn't what they are told it is. Because they first maybe experience it in a way that is violating. They are raped by an elderly woman. That's how they lose their virginity. And sex becomes this thing, you know? So for me, I just shout him out for the talk.
Yeah,
being vulnerable about what sex has been to him, you know? Because that's what then ends up, I mean, you know?
What's your take on
Master? He's not married and he's got kids here and here. And that's the average South African man. No marriage, kids here and here. Yes, relationships sometimes don't work out. But sometimes it's due to what sex has been to you. And how you've been carrying yourself sexually.
I'm happy also that he's speaking out.
Yeah.
Because men never speak out. And a lot of men have gone through the similar abuse. You know, it's because it's just be man up and move on. But with the way society is, sometimes it's like maybe how men or people are behaving out there, it's like maybe actually this is you are, there's trauma, you know, there's something there. So it's actually opening up spaces for people to talk and maybe reflect. And
what if as a man you went through Prince KB's thing, you got violated, but guess what? You're not that talented. You didn't get your chance at being talented, famous,
rich,
and making some money, like 300K a weekend because you're charging 70K at your peak and you got 5 gigs a weekend. And you don't get that opportunity whereby you can point... Then what happens to you? Because now you still got the exact same feeling that Prince KB has, but you don't have shit. You don't even smoke. But you got the strength of a man and you can overpower somebody. Then that's where the problem begins. See? Because not everybody who's got these demons of being violated and a warped sense of what sex is has the
outlet.
The outlet and the ability to just buy it or... Because you're buying it. Let's be real, man. You know, these Instagram girls, they're for sale, man. You know what I mean? It's being bought. So what if you don't have that, but you still have the same rage inside or the same pain that you have to let out? Then that's where we come with these things of rape and this.
Become
and
a Diddy.
Yeah.
Well, Diddy's different. Because he had the money, but still with that, he still forced people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you just become a rapist, bro. Mm. You know what I mean? So
it's wild.
I feel like I commend him for talking about that. Yeah. But then, bro, if you had a son, right, and he's 16, and the school comes out and they say to your son, they say to you about your son that he shagged. Tell me, I'm sending you a video that your son shagged a teacher.
Huh?
What's your response?
Oh, good shot, my boy.
Generally, like, I don't know, man. So, in Zimbabwe, this teacher, I think she's 33. Zvikomberoro Maria Makedenge. Yeah, that's her. That's her in court. She was sleeping with she had sick. So I'll explain the story. Tabang, don't play the next video till I say you must. I sent you a link. So that's her going to court for sleeping with a 16-year-old, right? Mm. Obviously, there is shame upon this woman. And rightfully so. She's a teacher. So what happened was, the story allegedly is this woman slept with this boy. Obviously, it's between the two of them. Because we've all been 16 years. Okay, some of us have been 16-year-old high school boys. And, you know, there's been some teachers who...
Oh, no, not in my school. Some teachers I would have wanted to.
But oh, yeah?
It didn't happen, no.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we wanted to.
Yeah.
I didn't bang any teachers,
bro. Okay. Well, I thought that's what was happening.
I rocked. So, the teacher, obviously, right? So, she tells a kid that don't tell anyone. And he confides in his sister. Sister tells her parents go to school. But now, look at the response the kid then gets when he arrives at school. Play that video. He's a silly. See you, my position. Thank you, my Polana. No, thank you, my Jovena.
This is the wrong video, dog. No ways.
No ways. Yeah.
This is in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
No, maybe he passed or something, dog. Are you for real?
Yeah.
That's the point. Go back to see his face. Go back to the other video. That's his face.
No ways.
It's in Harare. Yeah. If Totini, thank you, Machovela. Thank you, Mopanala. Isn't just so it, if Totini. Gems on ice. Thank you, Machovela. Thank you, Mopala.
That's wild.
That's crazy, bro.
There's a celebrity there now.
Yeah, pretty loud. Like, I'm like, oh, man. Like, what the hell is going on, bro? And meanwhile, if it was a different situation,
yeah.
It would be totally like fucked up. Male teacher, student. Or like, I just saw that. Yeah, but that Australia. So Australia passed a law from the 10th of December when no under 16s are allowed to be on social media.
Yeah, I saw that. It's beautiful, beautiful.
I think that's beautiful, bro.
I saw that. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
I think it's beautiful.
It's amazing, bro.
Hey, in South Africa.
These kids are on the phones, guys.
Bro, adults. Yo. You adults are on the phone. You as an adult, sometimes you be like, you go to the toilet and you ask yourself, why do I have my phone in my hand? I'm going to go take a shit. I'm gonna go take a dump. Why do I have the phone in my hand?
I want to play you this. It just shows how fucked up social media is.
Yeah,
but you can continue. Shout out to Australia,
because even adults, if we adults are hooked, what chance do the kids stand? Like, what chance does my 7-year-old daughter stand?
No, it's like, fucked.
And what kind of a 20, 21-year-old do our kids become when they were hooked from this thing? at 7, 8.
Aye. Shots, I'm sending you the link, ne? Please play it from the beginning, right? From the beginning. Listen to the story, dog.
Bro.
So funny.
Yeah. Nah, bro, we don't stand a chance. Shout out to Australia, bro.
Yeah, we need that, bro. We need that.
Shout out to Australia, bro.
Please listen to this, because, ladies, it's so funny.
When I first got on Instagram, one motherfucker get on there and said, fuck, bitch, nigga. You ain't shit. Or say some personal shit. Man, let me tell you what I did. I went on a motherfucking DM and I cussed it. I said, bitch, where you at? Motherfucker, you talking all this shit? Man, what city you in? And he was talking shit, blah, 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 blah. And I hired a motherfucking private investigator. And they found out what a motherfucker was. It was a 12-year-old little white boy in Pennsylvania talking to me. I thought it was a nigga from Philly. He said...
Oh, guys. Yeah. Social media.
I love that video.
Wow.
Because it's social media.
It's so true.
That's literally, and it may not be that you're getting dragged by a 12-year-old somewhere. You are getting dragged by somebody who you wouldn't even pay attention to on a normal day.
Yeah. Mm.
Walking a mall at Chris Hani, you're a cliques, you're taking a morning after. You wouldn't even pay. It's a guy who just walking past you carrying a Pick and Pay plastic bag and you not even pay attention to it.
Mm.
But because on social media and they portray this thing and they say that to you, yeah, it gets to you and it fucks up your whole thing. Mm. So the thing is not even real. So isn't it a great idea that the kids mustn't be exposed to it?
I love it.
Yeah.
The thing is not even real, but the effects of it are real.
Mm.
So may as well not post. So shout out to Australia, bro. Then they're going to find YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name them, TikTok. If a kid is honest about their age and they let them on the platform, but obviously... Kids will be kids. People will always find a way around these things. But I think it's a great step into the future.
I love it, man. Anything else, Ghost Lady?
So there was a video I shared with Shots.
Yes.
Please pull it up.
Mm.
And this video itself, this girl, South African girl,
okay,
talking about how Nigerians in Cape Town are harvesting body parts
of
South African girls.
No way. They're harvesting yash.
Well, more than just...
Ghost Lady, you're kidding,
ways,
bro.
I'm not.
For real?
I found this, yeah, on Twitter.
Okay, can
you tell
this thing? So I'm in Stellenbosch University, and there's girls that I know in Stellenbosch. There's a girl I know. Let me just speak about this girl. There's a girl I know. She's in Stellenbosch. She's not from here. She's not from Cape Town and things like that. She came from wherever. Like, maybe Joburg, Northern Cape, Northwest. I'm not going to say exactly, because I feel like a lot of people know her. And she came to Cape Town, Stellenbosch, and obviously people from Stellenbosch grew in Cape Town, whatever. And for the girls, they end up in clubs like Saints, they end up in clubs like Ayepyep. Okay, ne? And those clubs, you get Nigerian men. Those clubs are where you get ballers, men with money, men who will give. Okay, no problem, ne? You will find those men there, and you'll definitely get one, ne? My thing is, you guys put yourselves in the lion's den. First of all, you've never been to Cape Town. Or if you've been, you've come with your family and you've gone. You've never seen the life here in Cape Town. I've stayed in Cape Town before. My whole life has been in Cape Town, let me just say. So we know how these Nigerian men are. And Banyana Ba Poster, guys, these girls, she's in second year. Since first year, girl has been a club goer. Girl has been dating these followers and things like that and what. I'm not judging it. But I just want to say, the annoying part about this is you guys know how these Nigerian men are. And then you're going to be quick to post up pictures about justice for Nontigela. Nontigela don't know what she was doing when she was going to Saints and sleeping with that man and being in a Uris. I'm just saying, like, guys, be careful. Be careful. You get excited and you see all these nice things in Cape Town, you will go missing. We know. For us to stay here, we know what's going on. You get here, varsity student, you go to Cape Town, and it's all lovely. Chomi, you will cry. Guys, please be careful. Nigerian men are not... There's nothing cute. There is nothing cute. Please be careful. I'm not being discriminative or whatsoever, but this is the reality. Guys, even safe. I'm watching Instagram stories and I love it for you guys. I'm not jealous, I'm not anything. Just be safe. I stay in Parklands and I know what goes down. These men stay in Parklands, they stay in Sunnydale, they stay in those sides, Tableview. Go to Cape Town with their nice cars. Lidogonyalela, trafficking to me. Hi, ask me, I know. It's December and varsity students are just acting like Kumunate. Body
back,
be careful, guys. Be careful.
Yo, that's crazy.
But also, should have said hold on to nothing. What's the part of the body harvesting?
But it's a warning of what could be happening and what they know. So for me, it's like, maybe it's good to share. And then people who know, or maybe it's like, give us details.
So you wanted to go and speak and say, here's a body part I found.
Yeah. Like... She hears there's the whether it's the guy.
No, here's the thing. So I did see a thing where apparently there's a hospital in KZN, right? That so there was a thing that was happening where people were being smuggled into the country. It's a whole article I saw. Yeah, read that. That
must we play this?
Yeah, play that.
Please, to Israelis and not lose your job. You just paid a fine? I'm not even joking. This was happening whilst we were celebrating the World Cup in 2010. Netcare KwaZulu-Natal pled guilty to 109 illegal kidney transplants. This was performed at the St. Augustine's Hospital in KZN. Just listen to this. From June 2001 to November 2003, a scheme whereby Israeli citizens in need of kidney transplants would be brought to South Africa for transplants performed at the St. Augustine's Hospital. So the kidneys originally actually came from Israeli citizens themselves, and they were paid about $20,000 each for them. But then in a later stage, they got them from Romanians and Brazilians, and they were paid about $6,000 each. So $6,000 is what you paid or what you were paid for your kidney. And the Israeli citizens, they paid between $100,000 and $120,000 for that kidney. An operation would take place at St. Augustine's at Netcare, St. Augustine's Netcare KZN. Of these cases, five of them involved minors. Let me read you a quote as well. The first charge counts 1 to 5 to which Netcare KZN Limited pled guilty related to the use of five minors as organ suppliers in violation of the Human Tissue Act of 1983. And this is the punishment they received. The agreement sets out the penalty imposed, a confiscation order of 3.8 million South African or 3.8 million South African rand, amounting to the benefit of the company derived from the offences, plus a sentence of 4,020,000 rand, amounting to fines for each of the counts to which Netcare KwaZulu-Natal pled guilty. The people involved was a CEO and about 8 other employees. I'm actually going to read their names and what they had to plead guilty to. So, as part of the negotiations, which resulted in the plea of guilty by Netcare KZN Limited, the charges against Netcare and the CEO, Richard Friedland, have been dropped. Okay. For his part, Samuel Ziegler, the interpreter, pled guilty under the same provisions as Netcare KZN Limited in November 2010 and was sentenced to a fine of 50,000 rand or 3 months in prison and given a suspended sentence of 5 years. Dr. Jeffrey Kalmeyer, the nephrologist who acted as the liaison at St. Augustine's Hospital, despite having fled from South Africa to Canada, also pled guilty to 90 counts and was fined 150,000 rand as of January 2011. And the four transplant surgeons, Arif Hafaji, John Robbs, Neil Christopher, and Mahadev Naidu, await trial. Well, obviously, this was as of 2010. While the trafficking of persons for the organs has stopped in South Africa as a result of the charges laid in relation to the kidney transplant, yada, yada, yada. Are these people still practicing? And how is this man still CEO? How does this company still exist?
Bro, that's insane.
Yeah, so I think, man, I don't know what, I didn't see the thing. Just let's credit these guys, you know, of their TikToks and whatever. But
you see,
this video is more solid than the previous one, just saying, hey, be careful, this Nigerian didn't came to like, I'm not for real. That other video is just going, hey, be careful, then. Yeah, you got to go out in the body bag, your body parts, but there's no proof. This guy had cases and all these things, and people paying monies, establishments. So apparently they import all these people from all these places, and they say they're Israelis, and then these guys are getting donors from these guys who are trafficked, and they're getting it for dirt cheap, but they're paying a lot of money, meaning somebody's taking in the money to say, yep, we give you the kidney, and in a Didi style, the guys who give the donors probably get nothing, for example. So that's what's happening under, you know, in our country, man. It's a free-for-all. So it is a real scare, the whole human trafficking thing, especially for body parts and donors and donations.
But you can agree that, though, that as much as, yes, it was happening in hospitals, it could be also happening now, not just in a formal manner in hospital, but you have people now doing this in this, the dark.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Just be careful where you move and where you go. But that video just didn't, like, it was just, did you listen to that video, the first girl?
I listened to it.
She was just saying, hey, this is what's happening.
But with what you know, bro, yeah. You're always on the road. You're a DJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think it's not possible?
Oh, yeah. Highly.
Okay. Yes.
Clubs so are fertile ground.
The delivery might not be the same clubs as are, the guy.
Yes. Yeah, it was proof and all.
And proof and all.
But clubs are fertile ground for human trafficking. Yes. And girls, be careful, man.
Yeah.
I know South Africa, we've got a big problem of unemployment, poverty, and all these things. But some people come out to the nightclub not to buy. And women or girls assume that guys go out all the time to try to get laid.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not trying to get laid. Sometimes they're a syndicate of human trafficking.
Yes.
They're a syndicate of harvesting body parts and those required to be dead, by the way. Yeah, you can die. You know, so just be careful when you go out in the clubs, especially when you don't have the money to sustain your going out in the club or stay home.
Yeah, people might have to be vigilant out there. And now girls are out there like trying to get the attention of these men, of these ballers.
I don't know, man. You just don't
know what these people do.
Do people not know the beautiful feeling of staying home, grabbing a hot chocolate, chilling on the couch with a blanket and Netflixing?
Guys, girls,
like, there's so much joy in that, man.
Together and chill.
Like, just stay home.
Because we're old, dog. We're old.
No, even when I was young, dog.
Oh, okay, okay.
We've been on Netflix.
I didn't find my. No, but I downloaded movies from LimeWire. I downloaded the movies from I pirated movies from LimeWire.
Yeah.
Stayed home.
Remember Kazaa? Remember Kazaa?
Eh?
Kazaa.
Kazaa! You got all the albums, all the music in the world.
Yeah, good times.
But stayed home, man. Remember Kazaa?
Ah, you
but you see, that's the difference.
I didn't shake Kazaa was like Spotify. I'm
sure Spiso had it. Kazaa.
All the Taki said has ever Spotify.
Because later, careful
out there, guys.
No. I'm just it's about a warning to out there and just women. We live in times where, like this girl was emphasizing, then we're gonna say, oh no, justice for so and so. Kandi, you also put yourself in a situation.
Ghost lady, the girls know, man. They just don't want to listen, bro.
No.
They
want their way out of.
Yeah, it's like
guys. I don't want to disrespect poverty. You know. As much as poverty shouldn't be respected, but I don't want to disrespect it because a lot of these girls are not even like in real poverty.
No, oh, yes. Oh, no.
You know poverty, Joe.
No.
It's a lot of these girls are like, ha, you made it to UJ. Maybe you're not that poor. Fucking stay in school and work and try to do something entrepreneurial.
So.
Not with the bombs. So. That's entrepreneurial. I get it.
You'll be surprised. Sometimes.
Because they bring entrepreneur the wrong way. But these are like normal girls who grew up knowing in the hood. It's like, you're not poor. You went to
it's liking things, so.
You went to.
It's liking things.
It's liking things.
You were people are so primary. You went
in
to
this
schools.
Ballers culture, you know, just men just throwing money at you.
It doesn't work like that, man.
Like
it doesn't work like that.
Your parents even give you a card. You have a credit card. You can go and.
Okay, the parents don't give you a credit card.
No, I'm just saying now, kids, you know, you've in university.
You think there's a kid who's got a credit card and is selling bombs to weird
shady niggas in the club, but their parents give them a credit card?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
No. You're out of touch with reality.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
You're out of touch.
Oh, get out the house, man.
Yeah. Like, walk. Take a walk. Like, take a walk to D54, 45. What's that club there?
D48.
Take a walk. No. Trust me. None of those girls are there with their daddy's credit card. And still going with a nigga home. It does not work like that.
Yeah.
At all. Like, just... It's not that, but the girls, you're not cornered. And life hasn't cornered you to a point where you need to do that. A lot of them is just wanting things that are beyond them.
Beyond your means.
Like, yes, beyond your means. Like, you're in school. Dude, you are on a stage to create a whole life. You can't be going that way because it doesn't go very far up. Mind you, you know, just stay the course. And literally the course is it a bachelor's. Stay the course.
On a lighter note, guys, before we leave, man, we got a Christmas special that we're running.
Oh,
yeah, it's called The Chillest Christmas. Yeah. Yes, so you can get a discount on the book, the uncancelable book, dope, and the merch. All you gotta do is scan this QR code if you want it. We are out of here, Penduka. Anything else, my dog?
If I do, we're going to be here for the next 30 minutes. So nothing else, my nigga.
We'll save it for Saturday, ne?
Yeah, my nigga. I got to...
What does Danilo say?
A whole lot more.
If you continue.
Oh, Danilo says that?
Yeah, Danilo Ranaga.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, man. Time.
On why? To be continued.
Oh,
Ghost Lady, anything else?
Hold on, Kyle.
Happy Thursday, guys. Oh. Hey, okay.
Hey, we out of here, man.
Bye.